The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Live from Barcanada here at the D. How you doing, man? You good?
Doing well. How about you?
What a day yesterday.
Yeah.
What a sports cavalcade of a day.
It was. Sure was.
From doing a numbers game in the morning, then doing the Megapod with the great Brent Musburger, headed over to T-Mobile, as you did, to watch the Pacers in a great basketball game beat the Bucks yesterday. Then went home to watch that football game, which we'll get to momentarily. Did you stay for both games?
I stayed for both games. I left early in the second one.
You did. Well, for frostbite?
It got out of hand. Ah, jeez. I mean, when you texted me that yesterday, I'm sitting up in the media
area. So we're sitting in different places in the arena yesterday.
I'm sitting up in the media area, like unknowingly doing this for like 20 minutes. And then I looked down at my phone and Gil's got text me. He's like, is it cold in here? Or is it just me? And I'm like, I'm freezing.
It was so cold. It wasn't like hockey game cold. Because it was like, oh, they put the wood over. Yeah, I know. We've all been to arenas.
That's what I thought.
Where it was multi-purpose.
I thought it was hockey game.
No, I had the wind, like the air-conditioned wind blowing on us. And it really was so cold.
The other one that Mitch Moss brought up, that I didn't really notice at the time, but then, yeah, like absolutely watching it on TV and stuff, just like the stands being so dark.
So dark.
Like, that was a little odd. I don't really get the point of it.
Dark and it was almost like people were prepared for the cold because, like, people were wearing hoodies and, like, parkas,
really?
Parka vests.
I mean,
yes.
It was like 70 degrees outside.
It was unbelievable. Anyway, it was great. That game was great. And the Pacers do beat the Bucks as the Lakers then crush the Pelicans. And so that's your final tomorrow night for this in-season tournament where the Lakers are 4.5-point favorites against the young legs, the high flying Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton for the casual fan, the coming out party for him to everybody who isn't aware of him. And by the way, when you look back, Bob Myers, formerly of the Warriors, was on. He laments not having drafted Haliburton. Haliburton went 12 to the Kings. Of course, then they traded him in the Sabonis trade. But, you know, that was the year where the Warriors took Wiseman second. Man, oh, man. Man, oh, man. So good on that. It was just that game stayed under. So for those of us who had the under in the first half and the full game.
I did first half. That's what I ended up doing.
Bro, it still ended up with 247 points in the end. Yeah. Like, it almost got there. 128 to 119. But
the Bucks have a problem. I've been slow to finally get there because you know how much I love Giannis. You know how much I love Dame.
Giannis was not happy afterwards.
And I knew the defense was going to take a step back in trade of offense, extra offense this year. But, man, that game, like the first half, the Pacers had no right heading into halftime with that lead that they had in the first half. It is the lackadaisical approach on transition defense. And so it was such easy buckets for Indy half.
Is that only a Bucks problem or is that a league-wide problem?
A little bit of league-wide, but it's a Bucks problem. I hear what you're saying, yes, and Indiana's always going to look to take advantage of that. Yeah. That's how they play. They're never going to slow down. They're always going to try to push that pace. But
the
Bucks, if they're going to stay competitive here, you got to fix. What I always said was you're going to trade Dame. Okay, you might have to have perimeter defensive problems, but you still have Brooke Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo guarding the rim. You shouldn't be giving up buckets at the rim, and they are.
How many times yesterday did we see the Bucks score and then, like, Obi Toppin would score within 3 seconds on the other side of the court?
Exactly, yes. And the Bucks grind out a half-court possession, get a bucket, and then Indy easily lobs one up for an easy bucket. It's going to be an issue for Milwaukee going forward.
Come on, Pacers. I have no confidence in the Pacers. I have no confidence in the Pacers being able to win this game because I feel like LeBron is so motivated. LeBron just played only 22 minutes yesterday.
Yeah.
And just check out the box score, just crushing him. So Lakers Pacers, $500,000 a player. And I just will say this one last time. I got a Pacers future. I'm excited for it. I hope they get there. Not confident. Again, one of these bets where I spent 5 seconds thinking about it. So I can't really like say, oh, I was such a genius. It was really a 5 second thought to Pacers 18-1, where they were in the in-game standings at that point. I think they were 2-0 at that moment, looked at the schedule. And they can just, they have a puncher's chance in every game because they can outshoot you. But I will just say this, just Adam Silver deserves credit. This ended up being awesome. You look down at the sidelines when this game was going on, and the Pacers bench, everybody was standing like it was a college game, watching their more veteran teammates try to win $500,000 for all of them.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's been great. And it's really great, I think, to see LeBron buy into it. Yep. These guys, the stars buy into it. And just finishing up the thought of that Pacers-Bucks to the yeah, you know, there were reports afterward. Bobby Portis was going nuts in the locker room after the game, yelling at players and coaches. I don't know if Adrian Griffin's going to make it through this season. Team is way too talented for the to be having these types of problems.
He also has that. This is completely subjective, but when when there's shots of him during the game, he doesn't look like he has like a grasp of the moment.
I don't. And the whole, you know, he's losing respect already through this season because he's kind of deferring to whatever the players want to do.
Oh, you can't do that.
By the way, the moment of the night for me last night was in between the games, was walking by, and I kind of did like me and JVT went out on the court and stuff in between the games, and then walked back into the tunnel, and there's poor Robin Lopez, who obviously didn't see much playing time, but he's like on a Peloton in the tunnel, like going a million miles an hour, listening to a book on tape. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
You know? But like,
I had to thaw out. I went over to watch the football game. And then that brings us to the NFL game. Again, instead of a total of 257.5, a total of 30 between the Patriots and the Steelers. And oh boy, what a disaster for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those that have Steelers in any kind of bet in the future, certainly in this game, obviously, but any kind of bet in the future, a Mike Tomlin coach of the year, if that was hanging on a thread to begin with. I mean, it is all out the window, it feels like now. It's certainly in the precarious life support category. Steelers lose outright as 5.5-point closing favorites to the Patriots, 21-18. I assume everybody saw the stat. Not only forced the game go over in the first half, and Al Michaels proclaiming, if you like the over, they've also answered the call. Very clever. But this is a game where the stat that is the incriminating one. First of all, that the team trailed by 18 plus points in consecutive home games. First time a Steelers team did. And then the first above 500 team to lose consecutive games to teams eight plus games under 500 ever in the history of the National Football League. Somehow the Steelers, who were 7-4 and had these two games in consecutive weeks, just ready to win these games and go 9-4. Obviously, he didn't even need the magic beans for these games. Instead, they're 7-6. And Kelly Bidlin's underplays on the Steelers are suddenly alive.
My alt under still alive, technically.
Yes.
7.5. I don't want to be that guy. Is there anything surprising about that to you, though? Like,
nothing,
the Steelers team
whatsoever.
Has been the record.
They are who we thought they
exactly.
were.
Exactly.
Like, that's right.
They are who we thought they
that's
are.
That's right.
The record has disguised this team, especially over the past month, 6 weeks. I watched all of one quarter of this game, Gil. Bailey Zappi's stat line is far more shocking to me than the Steelers just losing this game. Yet everybody's making it seem like this. Oh my God! How could the Steelers lose this game?
Their playoff probability goes from 74% 2 weeks ago before the Arizona game to 56% before this game to 36% now, according to playoff probability stats. They lose the consecutive games to Arizona, New England. Zappi was great in the first half, but at the end, 21-18. In case you missed it, this is from Daniel Valente. This puts it in perspective. Stats guy Daniel over at The Score. He says, after halftime, the Steelers allowed 0 points, 84 total yards, 3 first downs, and forced a turnover and blocked a punt. That still wasn't enough for the offense to come back from an 11-point deficit. And the final moment, really the not the final, final moment, but the final moment of consequence in this game, 4th and 2 for the Steelers, 4th and 2, they're down 3 points. There's 2:01 to go. They need 2 yards. And Trubisky goes for the home run to Deontay Johnson. And it sort of, the game ends. It didn't end because they got the ball back, you know, with mere seconds left back all the way back in their own territory with 15 seconds to go at their own 13. And even two big chunks wasn't going to matter, which is what happened. But to go for the home run there, it was such a deflating end of the game if you wanted any kind of drama. Yep. You're like, did he really just end the game on that? That's what. And Richard Sherman was going crazy about how George Pickens is just out there and unused. This great receiver that just doesn't get utilized by that team at all.
Pickens hasn't been happy about that. Right?
No.
Tomlin likes that, though. He likes it.
Okay, does this... All it did was take 2 weeks to take the shine off Tomlin. Will Hill texted this morning. He goes, Tomlin won the Super Bowl in 08, three playoff wins since. And by the way, those were like beating A.J. McCarron and Matt Moore for two of them. Lost to Tebow, lost to Bortles as double-digit favorites. I mean, the legacy on this guy is going to be fascinating.
It's a good recent history book on Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. For a guy who, of course, we joke all the time, the stat that everybody, you know, quotes, has never, ever had a losing season. Well, they've got to go 1-2-1 the rest of the way for that to continue. And that schedule, Kelly, is at Indy, home Cincy, at Seattle, at Baltimore. Oh, boy. We might not be joking about that stat for much longer. And by the way, so if you look at the playoff standings right now, the current right at the moment, obviously with week 14 games on Sunday having not been played yet, the Steelers now on the outside looking in, it is the Texans who take their spot. The Texans would be the seventh seed. The Steelers now on the outside looking in. So Browns, Colts, Texans would be your wild cards at the very moment in the AFC wild card picture. But you're right, Kelly, what you said is right. They are exactly who we thought they were. This is the true version of them as opposed to the Magic Beans version from earlier. We'll come back. I need contest plays. I've got bets that I've made. I hate them all.
Me too.
You and me are on the opposite side of a game, and we both hate our bets.
We both hate our bets.
We'll tell you what that is. Matt Brown helps us navigate through it all. Hope he can convince me on some of these contest plays. NFL with Matt next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown, VSiN's own, kind enough to join us as he does each and every Friday. When it doesn't get in the way of the workout, you know, he's getting it. Kind enough to join us to talk NFL. We were just talking off air before we get into some more of your picks. 30 entries in Circus Survivor. It started with $9,267,000. We know VSiN's own Paulie Howard, VSiN's own Adam Burke, the kid Mike Jones, L.A. Jones, who mistakenly picked the Packers for Thanksgiving. He's still alive. His mom passed away. Great stories all abound. What percentage of that 30 do you think had the Steelers last night? We don't know.
We
won't know until the deadline on Saturday. But just a speculative guess here.
I think 7 or 8 probably did.
I think so, too. I was going to say 6 came to mind. But, yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, I think 7 or 8. Because, again, it's not a – if you look through and everyone's going, well, there's all these big favorites. Most of those teams have been used and or have to be saved for if you do make it to Christmas. So, like, it's not a great week from a Survivor standpoint for sure. And so I'm with you. I'm thinking a decent amount that had them available had to just kind of hold their nose and say, it's still a 6-point favorite. You know, it is what it is. I know it's Mitch Trubisky, but it's a 6-point favorite.
And then they got to watch Trubisky on 4th and 2, heave it deep. Oh, brutal. Okay, we also touched on one thing before, the weather stuff.
Yeah.
So earlier in this week, a lot of folks like blanket bet a bunch of unders because it looked like there was going to be this inclement weather over a vast portion of this country. Then we find out as the week progresses, those numbers were muted, that it's not going to be quite as bad, generally speaking. Is there any general philosophy you have with that kind of stuff? Like when you hear about weather reports early in the week, are you someone who dives in immediately? Are you someone who holds back? What do you do?
Yeah, so I think we fell victim to that a lot of times on primetime action. And so I just don't do it anymore. Like, I mean, it's weather. It changes.
It's weather.
It changes. Right. It moves faster or slower or is not as intense or more intense. So,
and this just in, no one really knows.
Yeah. And so a week in advance and all that stuff's coming out and you start seeing these totals just plummet and all. I'm just like, I can't get there because look, we were overreacting to the stuff. So this is outside of sports betting. Like this was actually something I kind of got into learn when I was playing a bunch of DFS, right? Like, so DFS used to be guys would like see weather reports and then abandon all players from those games, whatever, which then provides people who understand how this works an advantage because then you just go in and play those guys because they're going to be far less owned. And then, like saying, like 7 times out of 10, the weather doesn't materialize anyway. Maybe it's higher than that. I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
And no one's evaluated, as I always say. A known weather person is ever evaluated on this.
But it doesn't materialize half. You know, I think far more of the times than not anyway. Yeah. So yeah, I don't overreact to the weather stuff. I just don't.
Okay. Vikings, for those who missed it, first play from Matt was the Vikings. Not his top, but just the one that we could squeeze in here in the last segment. So you're going with Josh Dobbs and the Minnesota Vikings. What is number two, sir? What do you got?
Yeah, so I got a couple of different plays in that Bears-Lions game. Bears at 4. Didn't get the best of the number. It was 4.5. We go to the middle of the segment. We're like, I think that's too many. And then, you know, how it goes. By the end of the segment, then the hook was gone. But got in at 4. It's still 3.5, which is still playable. It's on the other side of a field goal. If you look at this Lions defense over the last 6 games, 28 points to the Saints, 29 points to the Packers, 26 points to this very Bears team, 38 points to the Chargers. Yes, they only gave up 14 to the Raiders, but if you go in and you see the Raiders have only scored more than 21 points one time all season, that's not that big of an accomplishment. And then 38 to the Ravens. This Lions defense did not take a step forward like I thought they would heading into this season. We kind of started to see them put some duct tape on the cracks last year, and we're like, okay, well, maybe if they can like figure out how to move forward here, then this will be a good defense, or at least a league average defense moving forward. Never ended up materializing. Certainly over the last month and a half of the season has not at all. Like I said, 28 to the Saints, 29 to the Packers, 26 to the Bears, 38 to the Chargers, 38 to the Ravens. Like, these give up tons of points. And this
not
Bears,
good.
No, not at all. And then since week 8, the defense is actually 31st in success rate allowed. And if you know what success rate is, it basically means you're always playing ahead of the chains here. You're getting 40% of the requisite yards on first down. You're getting 30% of the requisite yards on second down, and then the rest either on third and fourth down. And they're 31st in success rate allowed right now since week 8. And so you're getting a Bears team coming in that actually has started to look at least somewhat, let's put it this way. I'm not going to say good. What I will say is they look league average in a lot of different categories, right? Like, they look league average in a lot of different categories. And on the defensive side, since week 8, where we're talking about how bad that the Detroit has been, since week 8, the Bears defense, actually 10th in success rate allowed over that same time frame, 8th in EPA per play allowed. So they have figured something out on the defensive side of the ball. And so for me, on the other side of a field goal, I think it's just too much in this. Also play the over 42. I think 42.5 are still available out there. Anything 43 and under, 43 and 44, as you guys know, like, there's no key numbers in totals, but 43, 44 lands on about 8% of the time, both those two numbers. And so I do look and think that you're going to get a Bears team that can score the football. And I honestly think that this Lions offense still is good enough to go out and score points no matter what. I think 42 is too low for this one.
Is part of your handicap here taking the Bears and the points? We joke, but I'm not really joking, that Jared Goff is a California kid who, I remember, it was a famous game because it wasn't even that cold. Like, it was just below freezing. Like, I think it was like 30 degrees, maybe 32 degrees even on the button. And Jared Goff, this was a few years back when he was with the Rams, just looked like it was negative 32 degrees, right? And so this game, it's going to be 35. The wind will have subsided. Today in Chicago, it's 20-mile-per-hour winds, but the wind will have subsided somewhat by then. But it's still cold. Is that part of your handicap at all with him?
Listen, it certainly doesn't hurt. There's no doubt about that. It was more for me in this one was the fact that I think it's two teams that are kind of heading in different directions. Now, I'm not saying the Lions are falling off a cliff or anything like that, but certainly the Bears are on the uptick, right? And like, the Bears are, and I don't play the whole motivational factor stuff because it's not stuff that we can handicap, but the Bears are basically on the clock. Justin Fields is playing for his job. There's no doubt about that. Like, that is for sure, right? They're 2 games clear. Every other team's 2 games clear of the Panthers at this point. It's going to be the Bears picking first. They are going to have to make a decision between Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. So,
by the way, what's your handicap on that?
Man.
We still have 5 games to find out.
You got 5 games to find out. Yeah. And then also, it's kind of like, if it depends on where they think they are as a, in my opinion, where they think they are as a franchise. If they think that they're kind of on the cusp.
If you're throwing all that money at Montez Sweat, don't you think you are?
Right. It's if you think you're kind of on the cusp and you feel like Fields is good enough to get it done, you are going to get a haul for that pick. I mean, and you're still going to, and even with that, you'll still probably be able to get Marvin Harrison, like, because you'll move down and then you'll move back up. And so you'll still be able to get Harrison, but still get a ton of stuff in return. I don't know. I would still move on from Fields. I think we have enough body of work to think that he's, I'm not saying we've seen his ceiling, but I think we've seen close to his ceiling. Hmm. Whereas I don't know.
I don't know how I feel about him.
Me either. Because I think I would put it like that. I don't think we've seen his ceiling yet. I think at times we've seen close to it. But I think one of his biggest problems has just been consistency, right? He doesn't put any of it together consistently.
But then here's the other thing. So what does Justin Fields look like if you have Marvin Harrison, though? I mean, like, yeah, you know, I mean, right. what does he look like then? And so that's a completely different conversation, too.
Well, pump the brakes, Bat. Marvin Harrison might go back to school, okay?
Yeah. Top five pick. Yeah. Go back to school. You know what you should do? Get a year older and delay getting that second contract worth like $100 million. That's what you should definitely do. Stay and get a year older and delay getting the second contract. That's the smart play.
Caleb in L.A., that would be more tempting, but no.
Exactly.
The thing about Justin Fields is I'm going to make a bad comparison here because people are like, you're calling him Russell Wilson? No. But remember how, like, when you used to play Seattle, even when Russell Wilson was already, like, past the peak a little bit, you'd be like, oh, I don't want to bet against him because he's always, you just never know. Justin Fields is sort of getting into that. I'm not saying he's nearly as good as Russell was, but when you bet against the Bears, it is never comfortable with him.
Right.
Never.
No.
He's live in that kind of way, at least.
He's the guy that picks up the first down when you're like, you think you've won the game.
Yeah.
And then he scrambles or runs around and then he picks up the first down. You're like, oh, how is this game not over?
Yeah.
How
am I not? Can't believe I'm still sweating this. Yeah.
You're like, how is this happening? And listen, but you bring up Lamar, and this is something you brought up Russell, but I'll bring up Lamar. Like, listen, I'm not of the opinion that you cannot figure out how to get better, but Lamar was not a good passer. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And Lamar has gotten better over the year. It took him longer than some of these other guys for sure, but Lamar has gotten better as a passer. So if they do decide to move on from Fields, I think someone is going to be very interested in getting a hold of Fields. And these quarterback needy teams, man, there's going to be someone who comes in and says, yeah, we'll definitely snatch him up.
By the way, you brought up Lamar real quick. Like, is he sick again?
I don't know. That was weird. That was weird. I am glued to that injury. Like, I'm glued to the Twitter machine today for that, because
this is his life. It's like, is Lamar healthy or not?
Well, I'm not freaking out because this has been a thing with him, though, for the past couple years.
It's his first practice he's missed all season.
Okay.
It's the first practice
you're saying he has immune deficiencies? Is that what you're saying?
Like, didn't he take Wednesdays off a bunch this last is the first, year for
first,
this
This is the first practice he's missed all year. Okay. So it was just weird. It's just kind of a weird thing. Now, it could just be, like you said, whatever. He got the sniffles. He's got to, like, deal with some sniffles.
But like with this Jaguars-Browns game, which Kelly and I will touch on, there's a couple of these games, like, you can't touch because of this stuff. What did you say?
He's got to use his Navage. You know, like, that little, like, that thing where you, like,
another awesome
pump your snot through your
Or with Matt, NFL, other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all from Bar Canada here at the D in lovely downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Always great to have Matt in. Hanging out with us first hour of the show on Friday. We shift to college football. We got Jason Weingarten coming up later. I think we have Dr. Bob, though. It could be touch and go with Bob. I didn't really remind him, and you know that goes. So we'll see if we get Bob.
I did.
You did? Do you respond?
No.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe Bob, maybe not. We don't know. I'll tell you who we do have, even after we got into a great debate about FSU earlier in the week. Chris Velik of the Bear, the host of the Bear Bets pods, both college and pro football versions of Fox Sports, joins us once again. How you doing, Chris?
I'm okay. I'd be a little bit better if there weren't three goals scored in the 78th minute on yesterday in Everton. Newcastle, but here we are. We're alive. We survived. We got the under in the NBA game yesterday, so that alleviated some of the damage. But so does that mean we get 2 segments of Jason? No, Dr. Bob?
Well, I don't know. We didn't really prepare Jason for Dr. Bob's absence. We're just flying off the, you know, what's the expression? Off the seat of our pants.
Jason's got plenty of stuff he can talk about, though. You can go unscripted.
Can I tell you a story about your buddy Ryan Russillo, who many of us know as one of the great sports talk hosts in this country. Is that fair? Yes. Like, I'm a real fan of his. Yes. I think he's really good at what he does.
Excellent.
Yeah. I was walking to the game yesterday. I live really close to T-Mobile, and I'm walking through the casino, and there's a from the Aria to Park MGM, which is where you go outside to get to T-Mobile. There's these very wide, long hallways that curve like you to get the span the distance between the two casinos. So at one point I'm walking towards the arena and he's walking the other direction, but it's this wide, expansive hallway. And so all I do is I point at him and I go, Russillo, love you. Right. So he's like, hey, whatever. Yeah. Like, he doesn't know. Right. So then as I go my way, he goes his way. And then I stop because there's this new in the Park MGM. There's this new food truck.
Yeah.
That just appeared there for the last month, I guess. Cuban sandwiches.
The chef. From the movie.
Oh, yeah, is that what that is?
Yeah, it's from that.
So I stop and I'm ordering a Cuban sandwich. So I'm holding my thing, you know, the buzzer ready to get my sandwich. Russillo comes right back. So now I'm like, oh, great. I got to explain myself because I just told him I love him. Oh, geez. So I was like, oh, hey, Ryan. And he was so impressed that I'm not sure that he ever stopped for one moment. Like, he just kept moving past me. He's like, hey, yeah, great. So, like, so please tell him hello next time you speak with him.
I will.
Yeah. No, he's fantastic at what he does, by the way. He really is.
He had SVP, and then him on solo. It was just, you know why? He actually has common sense and doesn't like fly off the hook and like
is
reasoned in the way he actually thinks things out. Like,
yes,
it isn't just knee jerk reaction. That actually is some content and some thought process behind things. As opposed to just yelling and screaming and MFing people up and down.
Imagine that. Okay, we had a soccer question off air because Kelly responded to to your Everton laments by saying, should we all be betting Man City right now? And you said,
no, not at all. I think City has some problems. Obviously, they're going to be getting De Bruyne back at some point, but they've got some injury woes. And if you look at the fixtures, the schedules, like, Liverpool have played a few very difficult games already away from home. Like, their schedule is going to lighten up quite a bit, whereas Arsenal and Manchester City both have Champions League to worry about and trophy things like that. So with Liverpool kind of just out of Champions League, and yeah, they have Europa, but like, the league is like the number one priority for Liverpool. And the fact that they're going to get Arsenal at home coming up on the 23rd, which is a massive game. Man City, they have at home. They've already played away at Spurs. I believe they played away at Villa already. If you examine the fixtures, like, Liverpool has the most advantageous schedule the rest of the way. I think it's Liverpool or Arsenal this year. I really do.
Wow.
Right now, Arsenal plus 250, Liverpool plus 330.
My Arsenal guy in the building is going to disagree. He's going to be like, we're going to blow it. He's going to say, bet Liverpool. That's what that's what he's going to say.
Probably will.
Yeah.
They got so lucky the other day. They pulled one right out of the gun at Luton, went in winning 4-3. It kind of sucked. I was hoping that was going to be a draw, but credit to Arsenal for getting out of there with the win. Something Liverpool couldn't do. They did draw down a Luton.
You've been on this show, Chris, I don't know. We've never tallied the number of appearances on a show, but you're certainly up there in terms of the number of times you've appeared on a numbers game. And we've talked about, we once tried to count the number of sports we've talked about from a handicap. It's like 8 or 9, legit. Where is soccer for you, just from a fan/betting standpoint? Is it one?
It's up there. I mean, college football is still my baby, but I would think it's right up there. Maybe right by NFL clearly is there.
You used to say horse racing, right? You used to be like horses and everything else.
It's funny. I have not been as big into horse racing the last couple of months, and I still am. It was funny. Somebody actually asked me that before, how the ponies going? And I said, Breeders' Cup was great, but I really haven't been doing much just because of my schedule. And then I think being in Australia for like a month really kind of just like put a roadblock in my horse racing handicapping during the fall, because I was on the other side of the world. So time wise, it just didn't coincide with what I was able to be awake for to bet. So I'm going to start to get back into it now, because usually the championship meet at Gulfstream is pretty good. Oak Lawn is always good, full fields. But I think if you look at the soccer and even the tennis now, is something that I think just the number of different ways you can bet it, and for live betting, it's fantastic.
All right, let's get to your bread and butter, as you called it. College football, your baby, as you called it. Army-Navy tomorrow, standalone, annual tradition. A total of 28, I believe, is what we're seeing right now. Yeah. How are you playing this?
I'm not playing the game at all. I can't be the guy who's just going to come on here like everybody else and be like, take the dog in a Service Academy game and take the under. I mean, but at the same time, I don't want to be the guy sitting there trying to be cute and go over 27.5 or 28 or whatever it is. And here we are on a 14 play, 11 minute drive that ends in a field goal. That's just torture, miserable existence being through that. So I have no play for you here. Unfortunately, I did find three things in some early bowls.
Please.
That I did like. And I think the numbers are still out there. I grabbed West Virginia -3 against North Carolina. I think the three was in a couple of spots, but it's 3.5, I think, pretty much elsewhere. Like, if nothing else, I think this is a play where you're getting an opportunity to get ahead of a number. I can't see Drake May playing in this game. I think North Carolina will have a bunch of other opt-outs in this game. So I could see this number running up to close to 6, at least, if May doesn't play. North Carolina in the second half of the year has been a complete disaster. 6-0, top 10, and again, you collapse down the stretch like they've done the last couple of years. And West Virginia was a surprise last year. I don't think people thought that Neil Brown was going to be back in Morgantown. They're 8-4, been a surprise team, a chance to win 9 games. I think they got some good motivation to play here, play well, and win, which is such a big part of bowl handicapping if you're looking to get down beforehand. So I laid 3 with West Virginia. I took 4.5 earlier in the week with Ole Miss. I would still take 3.5, and I would play Ole Miss on the money line as well against Penn State. I don't think Ole Miss is going to have very many opt-outs in this bowl game. I think after what happened last year in the bowl game against Texas Tech, where Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin got completely embarrassed by Texas Tech, I think they're out for a better showing, and they get a great matchup. They get an offense in Penn State that really hasn't been very good against anybody worthwhile that they played this year. I would expect the left tackle to opt out. He's going to be one of the top 5, 6, 7 picks in the draft. We already saw Sean Robinson opt out. Manny Diaz, defensive coordinator, just took the Duke head job. So I think this number is going to close closer to a pick him, if anything else. So I grabbed Ole Miss, and I play him on the money line as well. And I grabbed Rutgers +2.5 against Miami. Again, you have to base this on motivation, opt out, portal. I know it's been a while since Miami's won a bowl game, but Miami's had, I think, 8 or 9 guys who play go into the portal, including Tyler Van Dyke, the quarterback, and the quarterback situation really isn't very good. I don't think a winter's afternoon at a baseball stadium was really the bowl destination that Miami thought they were headed towards after that upset of A&M and then the collapse of Georgia Tech. I think they're going to have issues moving the ball against the Rutgers defense. It's pretty good, and they gave Michigan and Ohio State tons of problems offensively. So I took Rutgers plus the points against Miami as well. And one thing I would say, and we've talked about live betting being your friend for bowls and trying to get ahead of information. Like, if you're playing the bowl, like, it's betting underdogs to win outright is never a bad strategy. I have to update the numbers from last year. But entering last year, I think if you go back over the previous dozen years or so, like, underdogs, single-digit underdogs covered around 40% of the time. But of those 40% that covered, 78% of them won outright. So if you're taking money lines on single-digit dogs, you're probably going to come out ahead in the long run.
Nothing on the national semifinal invitational yet from you?
I think Alabama is going to close favorite against Michigan. So if you like the Tide, I would probably get ahead of that right now. I do think Alabama will win. And I like Texas in that game. I know my co-host on the pod, Jeff Schwartz, likes Washington. But I think Texas now, with the way Ewers is playing, Worthy's going to be healthy by the time the game rolls around. The fact that it's Sark against his old team, by the way, beat them in the Alamo Bowl last year. Very good. I think they're out for a little bit of revenge here. And I do like Texas in what will probably be a virtual home game in New Orleans against Washington to win that. So, right. Yeah, I kind of like I think we're going to get an Alabama-Texas rematch like we got that game in Tuscaloosa week two of the season.
I said invitational. He didn't even react. You see, you catch that?
I heard. Yeah. Sometimes it's just best to let the control and don't talk. Just kind of let it go.
Hey, week 14, your favorite pick real quick in 5 seconds, NFL.
49ers minus 10.5.
Oh, okay. Laying the wood with the Niners.
Close.
Chris, appreciate it as always. The Bear, everybody. Chris Velika. Thank you, sir. Bear Bets Pod, college and pro football versions, Thursdays and Fridays, weekly. Those are when those are available. Dr. Bob is confirmed. He's next right here on A Numbers Game.